You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CD Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Criminal indictment, this time in Georgia, for his alleged efforts to overturn the state's 2020 election results in what prosecutors called a criminal enterprise. ABC News legal analyst Kim Whaley.
The implications of the Georgia case are, they're just harder to wiggle out of it for Donald Trump, which I think is why he filed a 400 plus page motion trying to throw the whole thing out. It lost, but it suggests he's worried and his lawyers are worried about the Georgia one pragmatically for him.
99 people are confirmed dead in the Maui wildfires. ABC's Alex Stone is there.
The governor is saying the number of dead here will very likely double at least. Work is only beginning to search homes for human remains. The governor says the first 80 victims found were in cars and found on the streets where they had been trying to get away from the flames. The death toll just unimaginable in this area of West Maui.
Retail sales rose 7% in July from June, a better-than-expected increase. This is ABC News. A new study sheds light on the impact of opioid addiction.
3 in 10 adults say they or someone in their family has been addicted to opioids. This from a new Kaiser Family Foundation poll. And fewer than half of those surveyed said they or their family member got treatment for the addiction. This comes as preliminary CDC data shows more than 110,000 people died of drug overdoses in the U.S. And beyond opioids, two-thirds in the poll also noted their family was affected by other addictions, including drugs and alcohol, that they experienced homelessness because of an addiction, or an overdose that led to hospitalization or death. Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
The FDA is warning consumers not to purchase pregnancy, ovulation, or urinary tract infection tests manufactured by Universal Meditech, or UMI, saying it can't guarantee they're safe or effective. 15 brands have been recalled, but it affects unsold or undistributed products. Alex Perchet, ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
If you are caught with 25 grams or less of marijuana, you'll still be fined $75. An ordinance introduced to the Winnebago County Board's Public Safety Committee last week would have lowered that fine to $1. But the five-person committee failed to get enough votes to bring the ordinance to the board for a full vote. Recreational marijuana is now legal in all the states that surround Wisconsin.
It's fun for the whole family as the Brown County Fair kicks off tomorrow, Wednesday, August 16th. The fair will feature live music, kids entertainment, rodeo events, circus events, tractor pulls, and a demolition derby tomorrow night. The fairgrounds are on the Fox River at 1500 Fort Howard Ave in De Pere. The entry fee is $12 in advance, $15 at the gate, and the fair runs through Sunday, August 20th.
The cheapest gas in the area is in Appleton at Costco or Woodman's at $3.39 a gallon. Pishwaba, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
You've heard the word a lot lately, but what does it mean to be arraigned? The Department of Justice describes it as the first court appearance for someone facing criminal charges. A judge reads those charges, then the accused enters a plea. At the end of an arraignment, a trial date is set along with bond. And depending on the severity of the charges, the judge can add conditions to take away the defendant's weapons or passport before being released. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life.
The wealthy do very well. I'm a capitalist. If you make $1 billion, go make it. I mean it. Just pay a little more taxes than you're paying right now. 8% doesn't quite get it. But look, I came to office determined to move away from the trickle-down economics and to focus on the middle class. Because I said, when the middle class does well, everybody does well. Everybody does well. The Financial Times and the Wall Street Journal started calling my plan, not initially as a compliment, Bidenomics. But guess what, folks? They're talking about it differently now. It's working. It's working. I'm serious. Because we're investing in America. According to Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs, my plan is leading to a boom, they call it a boom in manufacturing and manufacturing investment, as you're seeing right here in this factory. Over 13.4 million new jobs, 150,000 new jobs in the state of Wisconsin. Nearly 800,000 new manufacturing jobs nationwide. More than 20,000 manufacturing jobs in Wisconsin, from Green Bay to Verona to Pleasant Prairie. We've added more jobs in 2 years than any president has in American history in a 4-year term. More in 2 than any's done in 4. And unemployment has been below 4% for the longest stretch in over 50 years. 50 years. Wisconsin's unemployment rate is just 2.5%. That's lower than it was every single month, the prior administration. We've recovered all the jobs lost during the pandemic. We've added millions more. People are coming off the sidelines, getting back into the workplace. Remember, while they're saying, well, Biden just allowed people not to work and get paid. Guess what? The higher percentage of American workers are working today than ever before. And while unemployment is down, in case you haven't noticed, inflation is down too and it's going lower. Remember what the experts said, to get inflation under control, you needed lower wages and higher unemployment. Not a joke. Those of you economists know that's the economic mantra. To get inflation under control, fewer jobs, more unemployment, that's number one, and making sure that you don't have to deal with, that's what they say caused inflation. But I never thought the problem was too many people working or working people making too much money. And one reason we've seen inflation fall by 2/3 without losing jobs is that we're seeing corporate profits come back down to earth. You know, we have more to do with inflation now. It's just about 3% now. It's predicted to go lower than that. We're near the lowest point in over 2 years. And at the same time, we pay for low-wage workers has grown at the fastest rate in 2 decades. Wages are growing faster than inflation. Folks, that's Bidenomics. It's about growing an economy by strengthening the middle class. And making things in America again. You know, it's in stark contrast to the conservative Republican view, the so-called MAGA view, which is focused on corporate profits. They say we should find, and that the rationale up to now has been, let's find the cheapest place in the world to make our product. Let's shut down the corporate, the operation in America and send it overseas. And then send the refined product back to America and sell it here. That's their philosophy. But you know who believes that? Your significant Senator, Ron Johnson. He believes outsourcing manufacturing jobs is a great thing. He's on record as saying he doesn't agree with American workers. This is what he said. American workers should manufacture. He doesn't think they should manufacture products that require a lot of labor. Here's what he said, quote, let the billions of people around the world do that, end of quote. You wonder why the hell we got ourselves in trouble. Well, we've been letting them do that for too damn long. It's time to build American products in America. Yeah. We can see how Ron Johnson's rationale and mega rationale have worked out. Between the year 2000 and January 2021, Wisconsin alone lost more than 136,000 manufacturing jobs alone. I'd like to see Senator Johnson talk about those, to talk to those 136,000 people and tell them it doesn't matter whether you manufacture things at home or overseas. Sure as hell does, man. Not only for those 136,000 people who lost their jobs, but for their families and their communities and the economic growth it generated here at home. Let's take a look at how the Johnson philosophy played out the real time in Wisconsin. Like in Kenosha, about 40 miles from here. There used to be a lot of people assembling automobiles there, making a direct living for their families, generating economic growth for Kenosha until American Motors plant closed in 88. Or take a look at Milwaukee, known as the manufacturing powerhouse for so long. That's when I got to the Senate. I've been around about 200 years. When I got to the Senate in 1973, Milwaukee was a manufacturing powerhouse. That's how it was referred to. Not a joke. Not a joke. I don't have to tell anyone in this audience how hard people here work. And all of you, all you've done to keep this city strong. Still, by early 2000, Milwaukee had lost around 2 out of 3 factory jobs. 80,000 jobs were gone. 80,000. When those jobs were lost, something else was lost as well. Pride. A sense of dignity. My dad, and I swear to God, this was an expression. You used to have an expression. My dad was a high school educated guy, was well-read and worked like hell. He didn't have a chance to go to college. He used to say, Joey, and this is a God's truth, Joey, a job's about a lot more than a paycheck. It's about dignity. It's about respect. It's about being able to look your kid in the eye and say, honey, it's going to be okay and mean it. That's what a job is about. That's what a job is about. And when the breadwinner in the family loses their job, they lose their pride, the sense of dignity that goes with that. People like Ron believe that it's a good thing, the corporate American bottom line is, if that's all you need to look at, it's good for America. Well, that's not my bottom line. From the day I took office, I was determined to turn around with what now they're calling Bidenomics. It's one of the reasons why I fought so hard to write and get past the CHIPS and Science Act. We used to invest more in science and research than any country in the world. Almost 2% of our gross domestic product. Now it's about 0.7% we invest. We're the best engineers in the world. We're the best scientists in the world. We're the best researchers in the world. What the hell are we doing? Well, guess what? That CHIPS and Science Act has generated $231 billion in the last 18 months in private investments making semiconductors here in America. By the way, we, the United States, invented those semiconductors. We invented them when we went to the moon. They're those small computer chips the size of the tip of your finger, affecting nearly everything in our lives, from cell phones, automobiles, to the most sophisticated weapon systems in the world. Let me give you one concrete example. I met with the chairman of the largest chip maker in the world in South Korea. It's called SK, when I was in South Korea. They're investing now $22 billion, billion in America. And I asked them why. Mr. God's truth, why America? And he said, number one, think of this now, remember it. Number one, there's no safer place in the world to have my investment than the United States of America. And number two, you have the best workers in the world. And he's right. That's the truth. It's about time Ron Johnson's friend understood that. Look, folks, they think you want IBEW. I wouldn't be standing here this time without you guys. But the IBEW, they think, average American, they're not being mean or anything. They think, well, being an electrician, you say, I want to be an electrician. You get a card. 4 to 5 years of apprenticeship. Hear me? Like going back to college. 4 to 5 years. You get paid, but not nearly what you get paid when you get your card. You got to talk more about what you do, what it takes to get it done. People aren't trying to be mean. They just don't know. But I'm sure in hell telling them. The bottom line is we invented chips here in America. We used to produce them here. We used to produce 40%, and now we're bringing them back home. Thankfully, thankfully. We have people like Tammy Baldwin, who championed, must have got through, Buy American policies leading to resurgence of manufacturing in Wisconsin and across the country. You heard me say it before. Where in God's name is it written that America can't lead the world again in manufacturing? Where is that written? Nowhere. Folks, nowhere. You got it. Since I took office, we've attracted more than $500 billion. Let me say it again. $500 billion in private investment in American manufacturing and the industries of the future. Spending on construction of manufacturing plants that need to be built. Nearly doubled in the last 2 years. And you know, that's not just the permanent jobs. They're generating growth, economic growth. Look, construction jobs do that as well. We've added 600,000 good-paying construction jobs since I took office. When they build these plants to build these chips, guess what? They call them fabs. They're as big as football, long as football fields. That's how big they are. They're gigantic. And guess what? The people who work there, you know what the average salary is in these fabs? $116,000 a year, and you don't need a college degree. What the hell are we talking about? Folks, instead of exporting American jobs, we're creating American jobs, exporting American products. And they're being built right here in Wisconsin and places where factories have been shut down. Look what you're doing here. Engadine came to Milwaukee 10 years ago, thanks to tax incentive and clean energy during the Obama-Biden administration. Then exactly 1 year ago tomorrow, I signed a significant piece of clean energy legislation combating the existential threat of climate change, the single largest investment ever anywhere in the world, without one single member of the other team voting for it. That law reauthorized those clean energy tax credits and expanded them. As a result, this company predicts that demand for the wind turbine generators, which they're making right here in this facility, will double next year. And since I took office, the private sector has announced more than $3 billion in investments, not million, billion, in investments for wind energy manufacturing in America. And by the way, it's cheaper than fossil fuels. Cheaper than fossil fuels. And that's not all. Until this year, this company didn't think it made sense to make chargers for electric vehicles in the United States. But then, when I signed the bipartisan infrastructure again, which Ron Johnson and his friends didn't vote, they all voted against, that law invests $7.5 billion to build a network of thousands of electric vehicle chargers stretching across the country, including on I-94. By the way, over 500,000 of these charging stations. That's real jobs. That's real money. And by the way, my grandpa Biden, who died very young, died in the hospital I was born in 6 days before I was born. He worked for the American Oil Company. His job was to go from town to town, expanding the American Oil Company, building new gas stations. People didn't know where they wanted a couple thousand gallons of gasoline under the ground where they are. What happens if you build a gas station? You end up with something like a 7-Eleven or a donut shop or a drugstore around it. It generates economic growth. We're going to be building these facilities all across America so you can plug in and go the width of the country. That way you can travel coast to coast without worrying about running out of power. Every single one of these chargers must be installed by workers certified by the IBEW plan. Everyone. That was the condition. Everyone. And every single one must be made in America. Now, there's a provision of law that I thought I knew a fair amount, but I didn't realize, maybe you did, Tammy, but I didn't realize back in the 30s they passed a law that's consistent with international trade, that if the Congress passes a law to spend money and the president has to decide where to spend it, he or she has to spend it on American workers and in America, American products. Well, most presidents, including Democrats, didn't pay a lot of attention to that. But I did. And so now, to use a non-American product, you've got to have a real good reason to prove to me you can't, in fact, get it from an American product. Look, folks, this company concluded that it was an opportunity for them as well. And now they're making fast-charging EV chargers here in America, right in Wisconsin. Their goal is to manufacture 13,000 high-speed chargers every single year. And guess what? To the chagrin of your senator, the other senator, it's going to add 100 good-paying jobs. Folks, this is happening across the state. It's a direct result of those clean energy investments I signed in law a year ago. Folks, as I've said for a long time, when I think climate, I think jobs. Not a joke. When I think climate, I think jobs. That's the future. By the way, the state of Texas, a very enlightened governor, has the significant highest number of wind and solar facilities, I think, of any state in the nation. And it's cheaper than fossil fuel. He wants to shut them down. Isn't that enlightened? Like the 12 solar energy products in Alon Energy is building across Wisconsin, creating more than 2,000 jobs, local construction jobs, most of them union jobs, and in the process of serving customers in Wisconsin, saving them more than $1.6 billion in energy costs. These are facts, not fiction. And back to Kenosha, which was hit hard by the American Motors when it closed. Now, Paris Solar has broken ground on the state's first large-scale solar and battery storage project in Kenosha County. It's creating 300 good-paying construction jobs. 300. And just today, the company Siemens announced that because of that law I signed and the significant investment we're making in clean energy, they're going to begin manufacturing solar inverters here in Wisconsin. And by the way, American people are going to be learning, no matter how well educated, you're going to be learning a lot, because I bet most people don't know what a solar inverter is. It converts solar energy from the sun into electricity. Kind of a novel idea, isn't it? How many times do you ever think in those days when you had those real big bills in the winter and a hot day came, well, why couldn't we capture all this? Guess what? They're going to be doing a piece of that. Sunlight shines down and the inverter turns into electricity. And they're going to build them just outside of Kenosha. Don't tell me Americans can't innovate. Don't tell me that. Since I took office, I've seen more than $3 billion in private investment in clean energy manufacturing all across Wisconsin. That's Bidenomics. That's investing in America. Totally consistent with international law and trade agreements. And investing in America means investing in all of America. When I ran for president, I made a promise that I would leave no one behind, no part of the country to leave behind. I'm getting mad. A lot of Democrats are getting mad at me because we're investing actually more in red states than blue states right now. But they're all Americans. I made a promise. I made a promise no matter where. And folks, red states, blue states, urban, suburban, or rural, all of that will benefit from what we do. That's why I launched the Rural Partners Network to help rural communities, including here in Wisconsin and my state of Delaware, which is mostly rural, believe it or not, create jobs and economic opportunity. And my administration has invested hundreds of millions of dollars to support small and medium-sized meat and poultry processors across the Midwest, including dozens here in Wisconsin. from Lancaster to Richland Center to Soldiers Grove. This way, farmers. When the wealth they generate stays in Wisconsin, then their children can stay in Wisconsin and find opportunity here and build a stronger rural economy. Investing in America also means rebuilding our infrastructure. The governor talked about how many bridges and roads. I mean, it's amazing. And it's not even been a year yet. It's just been about a year. You know, the last guy talked about infrastructure month. We got infrastructure decade, baby. 10 years. Oh, think I'm kidding. They never had 1 month, but I'm joking. I'm not joking. And by the way, a number of my Republican friends voted against this infrastructure bill, including your distinguished other senator. You know, we used to be number one in the world in infrastructure. But over time, we slipped to the 13th best infrastructure, 13th best infrastructure in the world from number one. How can you be the best economy in the world with a second-rate infrastructure? Not a joke. How can you do that? Well, through the bipartisan infrastructure law, we've already announced 37,000 projects, 4,500 communities across America, including hundreds of projects, as the governor referenced right here in Wisconsin. Let me give you a couple examples. We're investing $80 million to replace the interstate bridge over the Wisconsin River in Columbia County. That's a major route connecting people in Milwaukee, Madison, and Chicago. And look across town, where union workers are building North Holton Street Bridge, which is nearly 100 years old. More than 10,000 vehicles travel over it every single day across the Milwaukee River. It's dangerous, and this reconstruction is long overdue. A lot of you were with me when I was in Pittsburgh. By the way, Pittsburgh is a city of bridges, more bridges in Pittsburgh than any other city in America. I watched that bridge collapse. I got there and saw it collapse with over 200 feet off the ground going over a valley. And it collapsed. Thank God school was out during the pandemic. Imagine all the people would have died. They knew for years they had to do something. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars to rebuild it. You know everybody kids me because I'm an Amtrak guy. I like rail. Well, I've traveled over 1,280,000 miles on Amtrak. I know you think that's nuts. I do too. But the reason for that is when I got elected, I was 29 years old. I was in an office hiring staff, and I got a phone call saying my wife and daughter were dead and my two boys were not likely to live. Tractor trailer broadsided and killed them. And I didn't want to stay in Washington. So I said, a lot of really good senators, including a couple good Republican friends, became friends. So just come and stay 6 months, help us organize. Hell, we had 58 Democratic senators already and a Democratic governor. I didn't know any better. But I stayed. And I started to commute every day. Because having been listed as the poorest man in the Congress for 36 years, true, my wife called me one day and says, "Did you read the paper today?" And I was up campaigning for a guy named Pat Leahy in Vermont. I said, "No, honey, I didn't see the Wilmington paper." He said, "Headline, above the fold." Only a politician's wife would say that. "Biden, poorest man in Congress. Is that true?" Like I was cheating on her or something. But I was. And I couldn't afford a house in Washington, and I couldn't afford a house in Delaware. If I sold my house in Delaware, I'd lose the election. So I started to commute. It's only 300 miles a day, but it still takes me an average of 4 hours beginning to end. And so what happened was when you travel as vice president on Air Force planes, they keep a precise number of miles you travel. And I guess it was in my seventh year, sixth year as vice president, there was a headline in the New York paper saying, Biden travels almost 1,200,000 miles on Air Force planes, 1,100 or whatever. I'm getting on the train one day. The Secret Service are the best in the world. They don't like me traveling the train because there are too many opportunities for people to do bad things on trains. And so I'm getting on a train to go home and see my mom, who was sick and in hospice at my home. And this guy, I won't mention his name because I would get him in trouble, but one of the senior guys in Amtrak who I rode with all the time, comes up and goes, Joey, baby, grabs my cheek. Swear to God, I thought you were going to shoot him. And I said, no. I said, what's the matter, Angie? He said, I read this thing about over a million miles on Air Force planes. He said, hell, you know how many miles you travel on Amtrak? I said, no, Angie, I don't know. He said, we just had a retirement dinner up in Newark. He said, you traveled average 117 days a year, round trip, 300 miles a day. 36 years, that's 1,285,000 miles. I don't want to hear any more about the Air Force. True story. I swear to God. I'm getting off point here. But anyway. But rail saves a lot. Electric rail saves a lot of energy. A lot of energy in the environment. Thanks to the infrastructure law, we're providing $23 million to upgrade, modernize Mitchell International Airport, which is going to increase economic activity in Milwaukee. We're also removing every single lead pipe in Wisconsin. Every single one. These lead pipes are dangerous. Some of you may remember, I had a guest at the last State of the Union when I was speaking, and a young woman named Deanna Branch. She's a Milwaukee mom. She had her three-year-old son, Aiden, with her, who was hospitalized twice for lead poisoning because of lead pipes in her home. Well, guess what? We're removing every single lead pipe in Wisconsin out of the ground. That's a fact. The risk to everyone's health, especially our children's. And then over 250,000 homes and small businesses across Wisconsin don't have access to high-speed, affordable internet. No parent should have to sit outside a McDonald's when we have schools are closed to be able to get a McDonald's internet so the kid can do their homework. Not a joke. Well, guess what? They do it, but you don't have internet at home. That's why we're investing over $1 billion in every corner of this state, especially rural communities and family farms, with affordable high-speed internet every single home. And folks, all our high-speed internet projects must use products and construction materials made in America. Look, folks, it's really kind of basic. You just decide to invest in America again. That's what it's all about. I want you to see exactly what we're making these investments across the country. If you want to know exactly where they are, you can go on the internet, go to invest.gov, put in your location and find out what's happening, exactly what's happened or scheduled to happen. Folks, we've done all this without raising anybody's taxes, making under $400,000. My friends talk about the big spend of Biden. Well, guess what? I made a promise. I'll never raise federal tax on anyone making less than $400,000 a year. I kept my promise. And unlike the last president, in my first 2 years in office, even with all we've done, I'm the first one to cut the federal debt by $1.7 trillion. $1.7 trillion cut. Because we generated the growth. Folks, every Republican voted against our clean energy investment, known as the Inflation Reduction Act. The vast majority voted against the bipartisan infrastructure law. But that didn't stop them from claiming credit for protecting health of their constituents that are getting rid of lead pipes or putting to work and building new roads and bridges. Look, I think the vast majority of my Republican colleagues in the Senate know better. We got to stop the partisanship. We got to stop this stuff. This legislation they oppose or attack is now the greatest thing to come to their states. You know, you have Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, the very quiet lady from North Carolina, from Georgia. Well, she talked about what Biden's doing is what Roosevelt did, what Kennedy did. I thought, well, yeah. But look, folks, like I said, I made a commitment because I knew this was going to happen. I knew what would happen is the folks who voted against these things, and we barely passed them, sometimes by one or two votes, when it came to their states, would claim credit. I want them to get credit. That's okay. It's okay. As long as they continue to support the things we're doing. You know, I represent all the American people in red states and blue states, but that doesn't mean I can't make fun of the hypocrisy of those claiming credit. And like I said, in the State of the Union, I'll see them at the groundbreakings. Look, let me close with this. I'm not here to declare a victory on the economy. We're not there yet. We have more work to do. But we've always had a plan that turning things around, making in America stronger and safer and more competitive. Bidenomics is just another way of saying restoring the American dream. That's the base, that's what it is. Just restoring the American dream. I believe every American willing to work hard should be able to get a job, no matter where they live, in the heartland, small towns, raise their kids on a good paycheck and keep their roots where they grew up. That's the American dream. That's Bidenomics. It's rooted in what has always worked best for this country, investing in America, investing in Americans. Because when we invest in our people, when we strengthen the middle class, we see stronger economic growth that benefits all Americans. The most important thing I want to say today is this. Thank you. Not thank for how you voted, but thank you to the people of Wisconsin. Thank you to the American people. We've faced some pretty tough times in recent years. The pandemic took over 1 million lives. How many empty chairs are there sitting there on dining room tables these days? Our neighbors, our friends, our fellow Americans, they're still living in pain and loss and isolation caused by the pandemic. It generated the most severe economic crisis since the Great Depression. Wasn't that long ago that 20 million people in America were out of work? But today, the American people, they didn't give up. Wisconsin didn't give up. Americans didn't give up. America didn't give up. And I've said it 1,000 times. There is no quit in America. There is no quit in America. Look how far we've come. Today is not hyperbole. We have the strongest economy in the world. And you're looking at me a little skeptical, but I promise you, check it out. The strongest economy in the world. The highest job satisfaction in 36 years. Our inflation rate has dropped to the lowest among major economic nations in the world. And if we keep it up, it's going to go lower, according to Monday. All I hear from my friends on the other side of the aisle is what's wrong with America. There's a lot wrong with America, like every country. They tell us America's failing, but they're wrong. Democrats, Republicans, independents, conservatives, liberals. I don't think they understand the average American. Whatever we set our mind to as a country, we've always accomplished. Name me one thing in American history where America stood together and said, we're going to solve that problem, we didn't do it. Name me one. Name me one. There's nothing beyond our capacity. America isn't failing. America's winning. And I'm proud of the historic legislation my administration has passed. They're the right steps not only to get our economy moving again, but to build to the future. But the real hero in this story is all of you, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. People of Milwaukee, people of Wisconsin, the American people. Yes, my policy helped create a lot of these jobs and has continued to grow, but you're the ones getting up every single day, walking out that door and doing the work. Yes, my policies have helped create some small businesses, created more than any time in history, but you're the ones who decided to borrow the money and take the risk in the middle of this concept. You took the risk to hire workers, fulfilling your dreams. I've long said it's never, ever, ever been a good bet to bet against America. Never, never, never. And it's not a good bet today. This is still a country that believes in honesty, decency, and integrity. The vast majority of Americans do. Our political leaders, sometimes in both parties, don't. We're still a country that believes in hard work. We're still a country that believes in each and every one of us is created equal. We're still a beacon to the world. That's because small towns and in rural American suburbs, big cities all across the country, every ordinary person, all ordinary people, do the most extraordinary things. Let me tell you, America's best days are ahead, not behind us. Not because of me, because of you. It isn't about the past, it's about the future. It's about each of us writing the next chapter in American history. I can honestly say I've never been more optimistic, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I've never been more optimistic about America's future, both domestic and foreign. We just have to remember who the hell we are. We're the United States of America. There's nothing, nothing beyond our capacity when we do it together. So let's do it together. God love you. May God bless you all. May God protect our troops. Thank you.
President Joe Biden live in Milwaukee. The crowd has taken their feet. Biden is glad heading around the perimeter at this time. He has just left the stage. The Secret Service meeting him there near the VIPs, the dignitaries. You know, Joe likes humans. Joe likes humanity. I'm here with Terry Bell, news director of Civic Media. Terry, the president's speech went off, relatively speaking, on time. That's always good news. He did address the wildfires in Hawaii. I know there had been some recent criticism for his lack of, well, I guess he hasn't directly addressed it until today. And now he's addressed it. He's effectively said that America is throwing all the resources Hawaii will need. Joe Biden came here, though, to talk about his economic policies 1 year later. Terry, the crowd here, very supportive of the president, but my understanding, there's a lot of work to do to get the message out to the American people.
Well, even among Democrats themselves, there was polling that showed that a great many Democrats maybe would like to see someone else as their nominee if they had their druthers. They will support the president, but they have some mixed feelings. And I think part of this is to drum up the enthusiasm, to remind people of his record on creating jobs and what kind of jobs these are. I mentioned, you know, making well north of $100,000 a year for jobs that don't require a college degree in manufacturing, that clean energy is job creation.
All right. I couldn't agree more. That is from Terry Bell and Mike Crute. We'll be back on the Civic Media Radio Network with the Todd Albaugh Show.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Most of us are not just red or blue. We're kind of purple. We want to do what's right while protecting our individual freedoms.
Join the Rational Revolution with hosts Chris Elfheim and Emily Sefos Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
Arrival of President Joe Biden from Milwaukee to Volk Field here in beautiful Juneau County, and right on cue, aircraft taking off. Welcome to a special edition of the Todd Allball Show. We thank Mike Crute and Terry Bell. Great job, gentlemen, down in Milwaukee, covering the arrival of President Joe Biden. We're happy that we were able to bring you that speech, and we are equally as happy to be here today on our show live on location at Volk Field here in Juneau County with some very special guests who just got done seeing the president. We have with us General David May, Brigadier General David May, who is the commander of the Air National Guard here in Wisconsin. And we also have Chief Master Sergeant Chad Workman, who is the state command chief. And General, I understand that, I mean, hell of an entrance, by the way, on a Black Hawk helicopter. We've got photos of it, folks, of the general coming in here on a Black Hawk. And the reason was you were with the president just a while ago. Is that correct?
That's correct. That was the only way that we could get here on time for your show, because we had the honor of receiving the president this morning in Milwaukee at the 128th Air Refueling Wing there. So Chief Workman and I and a group of others jumped on the Black Hawk and came all the way across Wisconsin to see you, to be on your show.
Well, I can't thank you enough. I really can't. And thank you for allowing us the opportunity, the privilege to be here at Volk Field. What was that like? Had you met the president before?
It's the first time I've met him. I've met his wife, the first lady, a couple times before, and I've received the vice president, both Vice President Harris and Pence in the past, but first time meeting the president of the United States. It was pretty cool.
I can only imagine it. And regardless of who it is in the White House, just the office of the president and the commander in chief, right?
Absolutely. And the entourage and the precision and the quality of the staff and the just the vast number of people and things involved with moving the president around. It's pretty amazing to see it all happen. And it went very smoothly.
That's great. Now, did you pick up the governor on the way down to Milwaukee or did he have his own transportation?
He met us there. He had his own wheels, but it was great to see him as well.
Oh, that's great. And so you kind of received him on the tarmac, and then they had the motorcade and kind of took him to the event that we just covered.
Correct. Yeah, we handled the ceremonial part of it. Yeah. to be the local hometown military representatives to welcome him here. And then, yes, after he greeted a number of military folks and their families and friends, and then they whisked him away to the event that you just covered.
And if you can't answer this for security reasons, I totally get it, but is the Air National Guard, when a president comes into the state or our airspace, is it the Wisconsin Air National Guard to provide additional air support, or does the president travel with his own, or can't you say?
Let's just say it's all part of the package.
I got it.
And who's part of that package is up to somebody else.
Very good. But you're always ready. Always on the ready.
Yes. Always ready, always there, always on mission. Yes.
And there we are, more aircraft taking off. Well, it's great. Thank you so much for making the effort and being here, making the entrance with the Black Hawk. We are here for Northern Lightning. And this is an event that you and I talked about before. We were out at Truax. You invited me up so graciously. We're happy to be here. For people who aren't familiar, tell our listeners across Wisconsin what Northern Lightning is and why it's held here at Volk Field.
Absolutely. So Northern Lightning is a large-scale exercise. It's focused on fighter aircraft capability. We call it a high-end training exercise to go against a potential peer adversary. So this is the big game, the big challenge. And we primarily train what's called offensive counter air, basically aircraft against each other in the air, and then something called defensive counter air, so defending your own airspace. So out here on the ramp, we've got, 50 plus fighters from across the nation. And twice a day they fly and they're given a problem in a scenario to go fight an air war scenario. And then they're graded and evaluated. They come back, they get debriefed and critiqued, and then they go back and do it again. And it gradually gets harder throughout the week.
And Master Sergeant Workman, as the State Command Chief, what's your role in this exercise and daily in your job here at the Air National Guard of Wisconsin?
Well, for the exercise, I'm mostly here for moral support.
And we, doing a great job.
Yeah, thank you. Last week we were here, we had Distinguished Visitors Day, so we had a lot of important people come in. Senator Baldwin was here, so we got to greet and meet with some of them last week. And that's really our biggest role, but making sure that our folks on the ground have what they need. We start planning this months in advance and just making sure that they get everything they need for the exercise is one of the bigger parts of what we have to do. But they usually get what they need on their own and don't need too much from us. So they're pretty efficient in that regard.
Had the opportunity to meet General May's counterpart from Ohio is here visiting with some of their folks. Is that something you handle in working with the other commands across the country for this event?
Yeah, that's correct. We're in Region 4 when you talk about the command chiefs and all the states. So their counterpart in Ohio is a friend of mine, and we talk regularly when we have to coordinate on things.
Giving us a little grief about being Wisconsin fans, but he's a Buckeye fan. Yeah,
heard that.
I'm not sure, General. Are you guys going to have a little wager when Ohio State comes to Madison this fall?
So probably so. So General Johnson and I will see each other in about a month at a regional meeting, and I'm sure that topic will come up. There's a lot of conversation about sports rivalries.
As well there should be, right? How many folks in first of all, how long does this Northern Lightning last? And in general speaking, how many personnel, how many people does this involve throughout the entire event?
So it's a two-week exercise. And across those 2 weeks, there's 9 primary days. So 5 days last week and then 4 days this week. Some units come out early to do unit level training. Some units also stay after the exercise, but it's 2 primary weeks. Mm. We've got almost 900 people staying here on base. And then a few hundred more either flying in from other locations. Like we have aircraft flying in from Langley, Virginia.
Wow.
We have people staying, outside the base on the economy, as we say, but well over 1,000 people. And 50 to 60 fighter aircraft participating. So it's a fairly large exercise.
And a significant impact for the communities around here in central Wisconsin as well.
Yes. Yes. Oakfield has, at least based on the last study, about a $55 million a year economic impact. That study was done like 9 years ago. I'd love to see an updated study because I suspect that with the growth of this exercise and other things that we do here, the impact is much higher now.
You've talked about this to us before, but these are men and women in our communities, and it's not just the readiness of our military, but it's also good paying jobs that the Wisconsin Air National Guard provides and is integral to our communities.
Absolutely. And especially in this part of the state where, the population density is kind of low and the median salaries are probably not the highest you'd find around the state. The jobs and the economic activity going on here at Oakfield certainly has an impact, and they're certainly counting on us.
Stay with us. We're going to talk just a little bit on the other side of the break to the general and find out what readiness means across the country as well as here in Wisconsin. You're listening to a special edition of the Connell Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live from Oakfield. Back with more after this. Stay with us.
We did fly up here to do this with you. So whatever you need from us. Oh, that's
great.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag CivicPints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month